others achieve the American dream, all right? This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
What's in a name? Well, if it's OptiCare, you can expect optimum animal health, optimum performance, and optimum care for your livestock. OptiCare is a complete line of beef, swine, dairy, and specialty products, each designed to treat or prevent common animal health problems, enhance growth, and improve performance. OptiCare, their name says it all. See Jerry Bear and Sons of Arkansas for a complete line of OptiCare products, Hubbard Feeds Incorporated products, and the answers that work.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshare. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare. In the process, started Wesley Financial Group to do one thing, help people get out of their timeshare nightmare. When you buy a timeshare, the timeshare company can raise your annual maintenance fees at will. I recently helped a couple that had their maintenance fees go from $800 to $3,200 a year. They also received a $4,000 assessment for a hurricane that was over 1,000 miles away. Sound crazy? Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. If we take you as a client, I guarantee we'll cancel your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Want out of your timeshare? Call now for your free timeshare exit info kit. 800-785-1155. That's 800-785-1155. 800-785-1155.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The Biden administration going on the offensive after a president's decision to hold off on sending less precise bombs to Israel. That is, Israel prepares a military operation in Rafah, the last refuge for more than 1 million Palestinians. The Pentagon's Major General Pat Ryder on what was delayed.
We paused one shipment of weapons consisting of 1,800 2,000-pound bombs, and 1,700 500-pound bombs.
The Biden administration says its support for Israel to defend against Hamas is ironclad. State Department spokesperson Matthew Miller says the focus is finalizing a ceasefire deal.
We will continue to work for a ceasefire that brings the hostages home, no matter what it takes.
Stormy Daniels finished testifying today in the hush money trial of Donald Trump. Defense attorneys tried to poke holes into Daniels' claim she had a sexual encounter with Trump in 2006. In Utah, emergency crews searching for missing skiers after an avalanche at the Alta Ski Resort. This is ABC News. Lawmakers in several states, including Texas, are hoping to ban synthetic Delta-8 THC, so-called weed light.
In most places, there's no age requirement to buy Delta-8 or its chemical cousin Delta-9. Even some vape shop managers like John Sheridan think that should change.
We totally agree with making some changes to the legislation to incorporate that.
Lawmakers in Texas, where Sheridan's shop is, are considering prohibiting the sale of Delta-8. Sheridan says,
our problem is the scare of using the word banning.
Among the concerns is that the colorful packaging, specifically of edible Delta 8, may appeal to children. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
Soccer, the world's most popular sport, now has its own day for fans to celebrate. The United Nations General Assembly adopted a resolution proclaiming May 25th as World Football Day. That day marks the 100th anniversary of the first international soccer tournament in 1924. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
She posted about us just now.
Celebrities can't get enough of Bianna's bespoke skincare line.
She has 147 million followers. How do we monetize?
She needs a social media associate to help her with the hype.
We should repost this. Do we need a hashtag?
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Some people just know the more you protect, the more you save with Allstate. Because they know insurance math. Like if you protect your home and auto, Allstate can save you up to 25%. So it's like losing money if you don't bundle. Save more when you protect more. Bundle home and auto with Allstate today.
Bundled savings vary by state and are not available in every state. Saving up to 25% is the countrywide average of the maximum available savings off the home policy. Allstate Vehicle and Property Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayla. President Joe Biden touts Microsoft's $3.3 billion investment to build an AI data center on the Pleasant Prairie campus of the failed Foxconn project. And as expected, Biden's remarks over the noon hour in Racine on Wednesday included digs at his predecessor.
100 homes were bulldozed. They wasted hundreds of millions of dollars, your state and local tax dollars, to promise a project that never happened. Foxconn turned out to be just that, a con. Go figure.
Biden's latest visit to the crucial state comes with the latest Quinnipiac University poll showing him leading Donald Trump 50% to 44% among registered voters in Wisconsin. Paul Ryan doesn't want Trump back in the White House.
The Janesville native, who served as House Speaker during part of Trump's first term, telling Yahoo Finance this week that he doesn't plan on voting for his party's presumed nominee and instead plans to write in another Republican candidate. Ryan saying character is too important to him and that the presidency requires the kind of character Trump doesn't have. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A new study again ranks Wisconsin worst in the nation for its black residents.
24/7 Wall Street analyzed data from the U.S. Census Bureau and other sources. According to the study, the median household income for black individuals in Wisconsin of just over $38,000 is only 51% of the $75,000 median household income for whites. Home ownership for black residents stands at 26.5% compared to nearly 72% for white residents. Black residents make up 6.1% of the state's population, but have an unemployment rate of 8.3%. The unemployment rate for white residents, just 3%. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
The Laura Ingalls Wilder Museum invites you to Prairie Days, a 50th anniversary cast reunion of Little House on the Prairie, May 10th and 11th at Villa Belisa Winery, Pepin. Cast members attending include Wendy Lou Lee, Dean Butler, Charlotte Stewart, and more. Have dinner with the cast May 10th at 6:30, and there's also a VIP breakfast with the cast May 11th. For ticket information, visit eventbrite.com and search for 2024 Prairie Days, Pepin, Wisconsin. It's Prairie Days, May 10th and 11th in Pepin.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Partly sunny today and cooler. Highs will tap the mid-60s with spotty sprinkles possible. But as clouds clear overnight, a frost is possible as we dip down to the mid-30s. We start tomorrow off with some sunshine, but clouds quickly thicken with rain rolling in. If you owe back taxes, call Tax Solutions now. 1-800-281-8193. Currently, it's 61.
With Todd Neely, DTN reporter, who will be joining us later in the program as well. So lots going on, but we're going to start it off with the markets. We have more numbers coming out from USDA tomorrow. Joining us now from Global Commodity Analytics, Mike Zuzolo. Mike, thank you for joining us.
Great to be with you, Mike.
All right, what are you looking at? What should we be looking at in the numbers coming tomorrow?
You know, the big thing is going to be, for me, will the 24-25 world stocks build upon 23-24, especially in the corn? We've been carrying this 10-year low in world wheat stocks-to-use ratio for several months. The trade's finally woken up to that for a variety of reasons. Most of all, I think, probably Russia and the Black Sea numbers starting to taper down as far as supply side. But if not, and if those 24-25 numbers don't build upon 23-24 globally, why would the managed money funds want to be net short heading into summertime, given the weather pattern we've had ever since Jan-Feb? So that's probably the most critical feature to the marketing side of the equation, the hedging side of the equation for both the livestock feeder and the grain soy producer.
Are you expecting any surprises one way or the other?
I am way out on a limb in the world corn stocks numbers, Mike, when it comes to the ending stocks number globally. I do think there's 8 to 10 million metric tons of production that we need to pull out of South America between Argentina and Brazil. And if that's the case, then those world stocks to use in corn would be dropping to a 5-plus-year low. So they kind of line up more with what we're dealing with in wheat, and net-net tighten everything up a little bit more to the point where I think it would catch the market's attention. I'm not sure we'll get that tomorrow, but I think it's an important feature if a big crop starts to get smaller and then it does a small crop globally. Get smaller in coming months.
We've had this choppy market, a lot of downward movement, but a little choppy here. Do you think tomorrow moves that market much?
I do. I think the wheat market let us out of the hole in mid-April. It wanted to in mid-February, but it got sideswiped by some macro fundamentals. I think it wanted to lead us out, and it did in mid-April. I think it is taking a pause as we get ready to see these numbers in the WASD report. And I think if we especially see the dollar start to taper off and want to put in maybe a high here going into summertime, it can pick it back up again if it wants to after tomorrow's numbers, if we don't get anything that kind of torpedoes the tightening supply mindset.
We're talking with Mike Zuzolo with Global Commodity Analytics. Mike, what's your assessment of what's happening in South America? Do we have a real handle on how much of a production hit they may be taking?
No, I don't think we do, Mike, and I think that's one of the strangest things this time of year to have to contend with, and it reminds me of, you know, maybe 6-7 years ago when we had a real production issue down there, and it came late in the marketing year for them. I think this report also that WASD is going to put out is maybe going to have to be a catch-up report, because while they've been tightening up on the corn crop down in Argentina in the previous report, they really haven't done much for Brazil in either corn or beans, but especially the corn market. So I think we're just now starting to get maybe a clear picture of what's going to be happening, because we still have the big floods in Rio Grande do Sul that maybe doesn't hurt the corn market as much because the production numbers not as big down there. But I think when you talk about rice and you talk about wheat, that's a big area, and obviously the infrastructure issue is something else.
So concerns there about their crop, but here, even though it's not all planted yet and we've had a lot of stormy weather in places, but we've also had quite a bit of moisture, does the market start thinking, hey, we're probably going to produce a big crop here?
Yeah, I think you bring up a big point. I think we've gone from worrying about a drought to not getting planted, and that typically does not bode well for a rally continuing. I think the key date for me, and from what my producers are telling me for both corn planting and the wheat side of the equation, as far as the dry areas of Kansas and southern Nebraska and eastern Colorado, is the May 20th time period. We get past May 20th and we're still talking about some of these issues, then I think the trade will start coming off the idea that we're going to be able to adjust to that 181 higher national corn yield level.
Because in general, Mike, the market assumes we're going to produce a big crop, and especially if there's moisture, because even though there's delays in getting everything planted sometimes, it's a lot different than if you're dealing with drought conditions, right? As long as when the market sees there's moisture, they're going to assume a good crop.
Yeah, I think that's generally speaking very accurate, and I think you look at what Ohio had to go through, 2 years ago now, I think it was, they didn't get planted until June, and it was some cases the second week of June. Some of my clients over there in North Ohio had some of the best crops they've ever had. I think one thing that the producer, who also knows a lot about the genetics, has informed me over the last few years, that it's really important to get the corn up to that first foot and a half, 2 foot height, in a timely manner. Otherwise, you do lose some yield. So genetically speaking, I think we can tolerate drought better than we can a late crop overall. But I think that's a real big point to be made, that we're not near June 1 yet.
And coming off a year that had all kinds of problems, and we still produce a good crop.
Yeah, I think that's really embedded in the trade mindset, and probably one of the big reasons why the funds are still net short at this point. I think you hit a big point there, Mike. It's going to take some time to adjust these funds, and I think it's going to have to be somebody like the USDA that does that to them.
All right, Mike, good to talk with you, and we'll see what comes out tomorrow. Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much for having me.
You bet. Mike Zuzolo with Global Commodity Analytics. You know, as a farmer, unpredictability is inevitable. Protect equipment with Cenex Premium Diesel to keep you in the field. Learn more at your nearest Cenex location or visit Cenex.com for details. So we'll watch for those WASD numbers coming out tomorrow. Well, coming up still today, we have a lot of ground to cover. The latest numbers are out, and they are down, I can tell you that, in the Purdue Ag Economy Barometer. This is a report that we've been covering for some time here on AOA. It looks at farmer sentiment, looks at how farmers feel not only about current conditions, but about what they feel about the future, which is very interesting. And we'll get into a lot of different issues. Coming up next, we'll talk with Dr. Jim Mintert. He is the director of the Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture. A little bit later on, Robert White with Renewable Fuels Association joins us. He's out promoting ethanol, and we will talk about what he's hearing from producers and from those in the gas station business about providing E15 to consumers. And a little later, we'll talk some of the ag news of the day with Todd Neely with DTN. So we have a lot to go yet. Stay with us. You're listening to AOA.
Every Tuesday, we'll be sitting around the table, sponsored by CHS. Join us and learn how CHS creates the vital connections that empower agriculture, helping farmers and ranchers like you succeed. We'll hear from different voices from throughout the cooperative system, sharing stories about how good things happen when people work together. Join us around the table every Tuesday or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk.
From grain and livestock market analysis to policy updates affecting agriculture, the latest agricultural weather, ag news headlines, and much more, we have you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. Get up-to-the-minute information with the American Ag Network on air, online, and on demand. Find us on your favorite social media platforms and follow the American Ag Today podcast anywhere you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Welcome back. Mike Adams sitting in this week for Jesse, who will be back with you on Monday. Well, the latest numbers are out in the Ag Economy Barometer. And those numbers reflecting farmers' opinions as of last month in April, and those numbers are down. Here to tell us about them, Dr. Jim Mintert. He's the director of the Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture. Dr. Mintert, thanks for joining us. And the numbers, this is the lowest they've been in a while.
Yeah, great to be with you, Mike. So you're right. The overall measure of sentiment, the Ag Economy Barometer, dropped 15 points this month to reading at 99. And just to put that in perspective, the way the barometer is constructed, we started surveying farmers back in the fourth quarter of 2015. The first quarter of 2016 served as our base. So a reading above 100 means that people were more optimistic than they were during 15, 16. And a number below 100 means they're a little less optimistic than they were during that time frame. So where have been very few times since 2016 when the barometer has dropped below 100. So the fact that we're that low, you know, that brings us back to a time frame in U.S. agriculture that wasn't very good. You know, we had a great spell, especially for crop producers, from about 2007 to 2013. 2014 was kind of a transition year. And by 15 and 16, we were in a downturn. So farmer sentiment has dropped back to that level. And I think it really reflects what's taken place, especially going back to last fall with the decline we saw in major commodity prices, especially corn, wheat, soybeans over the course of the winter and into the early spring. Prices have recovered a little bit since we did our survey. The survey was done from April 8th to the 12th. So it's possible things might be a little better today than they were back in April when we did the survey. But still, it reflects people's concerns about their financial situation going forward here in 2024.
Yeah, Dr. Mintard, I have noticed over the years in looking at the numbers, obviously they're impacted by what the markets are doing at that particular time. But there's more to it than that. I mean, because you look out farther into the future, you look at a number of different issues. So there's a lot at play here that really forms a farmer sentiment concerning the ag economy.
That's right. And one of the things we've learned since we started the project back in 2015 is that it is more than just what's taken place with respect to commodity prices. Farmers look at a variety of different things with respect to what might impact their farms' financial stability and their ability to continue operating going forward. And, you know, one of the things that's taking place right now, when you kind of look under the hood a little bit at the responses to the question, people were more concerned about the current situation and a little more optimistic about the future. So the big drop in the barometer was driven pretty heavily by the fact that the index to current conditions dropped so hard. In fact, I think it was down about 18 points this month compared to last month, dropping it all the way down to a reading of 83. The index of future expectations declined as well, but not as much. I think it was down 14 points, but it's still above 100. It's at 106. So people think things could get better down the road, but their challenge is to get through the current environment and come out the other side in a successful kind of a way. And so, you know, people are looking at a cost price squeeze. When we ask people what their biggest concerns are, they're worried about the high cost of inputs. And really what they're worried about is locking in high break-even levels and maybe not being able to hit those break-even levels given what commodity prices look like. So that's really the biggest concern for folks. And it's really kind of changed over time. You know, if you go back a couple of years, people were worried about things like availability of inputs. That's dropped off the map pretty hard, but they're really worried about that break-even being so high on so many of the commodities that they produce, and whether or not they can get a price for it that's actually going to allow them to make any money.
We're talking with Dr. Jim Mintert. He's the director of the Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture, looking at the latest results from the Purdue Ag Economy Barometer. I thought really interesting what the survey shows when it comes to farmers' expectations regarding interest rates and farmland values. Tell us about those numbers.
Yeah, so the farmland values is really interesting. I mean, we do that a couple of different ways, but probably the most interesting one is to look at the short-term expectations, which is based on a question where we ask people, what do they think is going to happen to farmland values in their area over the next 12 months? And that index is still above 100. That means that more people expect values to go up than expect it to go down. But if you look at the chart and see how those responses have changed over time, you can tell that people are much less optimistic about farmland values today than they were, for example, not only last month, but last year, 2 years ago, and 3 years ago. In fact, that index kind of peaked about 3 years ago. So less optimism there with respect to what they think is going to happen. And then underneath it, you know, if you think about what's going on with interest rates, last month that index bumped up a little bit, and I think part of that was driven by the fact that people were expecting interest rates to go down. This month, it dropped back again. And again, I think if you look at what's taking place with respect to interest rates, even though people are a little more optimistic about the interest rate side, it looks like concerns about farm income in 2024 have outweighed those concerns. And the other interesting thing about farmland values, Mike, is the fact that for the first time, we included in our, if people tell us they think farmland values are going up in the next 12 months, we do a follow-up question and say, well, why do you feel that way? And the responses to that have been pretty consistent with respect to people always seem to focus pretty heavily on non-farm investors as a primary reason why they think farmland values will increase. This time, though, we asked them, is anything with respect to energy production, solar, wind, even carbon, anything in that arena having an impact? And this month, 8% of the people who think farmland values are going up pointed to energy production as a reason. And that's pretty interesting. That's the first time we asked that question, so we're going to ask it again going forward to see if that's a consistent response. But when you look at what's going on with respect to solar leasing, especially wind energy, and now more recently some of the carbon programs, particularly the carbon storage and sequestration type programs, we've got some non-ag factors really starting to maybe potentially influence farmland values, at least in some regions, not everywhere, but in some regions.
Yeah, I thought the solar question was very interesting about, have you been approached about some of your land being used for solar production, and have you made that decision? What do those numbers show us?
Yeah, so we've been asking that question about whether or not you have had a discussion with a company about the possibility of solar energy production on your farmland. First time we asked that was back in June of 2021. And the first few times that we asked the question, we've got between 6 and about 11 or 12% of the people said that they'd at least had a discussion. The last several months, we actually changed the question a little bit and said, have you had a discussion in the last 6 months? Because we really wanted to focus on what was going on more contemporaneously, since it's been going on now for several years. And it's been rising over the course of the winter. In February, 10% of the people in the survey said that they had had a discussion in the last 6 months. In March, it was up to 12%. That's not a big enough difference to say too much from a confidence level. This month, though, in April, it jumped up to 19%. So if you compare April to February, that's a 9% shift. That's approaching one out of five producers saying they've had a conversation in the last 6 months. That's pretty interesting. And then we do the follow-up question. If you've had a discussion, we ask, what is the annual payment rate per acre you were offered to lease some of your farmland for the installation of solar energy? And you know, if you look at the change, the first time we asked that back in 2021, about one-fourth of the people in the survey that had had a good discussion, 27% of them, said they were offered $1,000 or more per acre. This month, and this has been rising over time, this month that was up to 58%. In the last couple of months, we split that over 1,000 into two buckets, 1,000 up to 1,250 and 1,250 or more. 30% of those folks said that was $1,000 to $1,250, and 28% said they were offered $1,250 or more per acre for that long-term energy production period of the contract.
Wow! And all you got to do is drive around, and you see that more and more people are leasing their land for solar production. So you can see that it's on people's minds, certainly. And I would think that's kind of goes hand in hand with how they feel about where markets are going to go and how strong the ag economy is going to be moving forward.
Yeah, in some regions, and this is kind of what we think is going on, it's why we asked the question, in some regions it's probably starting to have an impact on land values, right? As mm-hmm. there's some uncertainty, and you know, when keep in mind when we ask these questions, these are people, one, that had a discussion. They didn't all sign a contract. When we do the follow-up question, we get a relatively small percentage that say they've actually signed a contract. But these offers are out there, and even if you do sign a contract, it's not guaranteed that you're going to wind up with a solar facility on your farmland, because all these contracts have a relatively lengthy development period. I guess the contracts I've looked at typically give the developer 5 years to figure out whether or not they're actually going to implement this. So there's still some uncertainty there, but clearly it's starting to weigh on people's minds as they think about what's going on in this farmland market.
Very interesting. Dr. Minter, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Mike.
Dr. Jim Minter, Director of the Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture. Stay with us. You're listening to AOA.
Sometimes life is wonderful. And sometimes it's not. Cherish the good. but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Milk markets were mixed with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins at the Mercantile Exchange. June milk up 15 to 2033, July down 12 to 1989, August milk down at 17 to 1964. Meanwhile, in the cattle markets, they were mostly lower. Feeder cattle were also lower as any type of lack of cash news, also lower box beef prices pressuring the markets on the day, and a lot of positioning ahead of the WASDE report. Meanwhile, hog markets mostly lower, a poor export and inspections report pressuring prices along with lower pork cutout values. June live cattle down 52 cents to 175.95. August down 50 cents to 173.72. May feeder cattle down $1.55 to 238.65. And May hogs down 55 cents to 91.97. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans all were lower due to the expectations of increasing planting progress here in the United States. That helping to pressure the markets. Also, lower product prices in the soybean complex pressuring soybeans. Wheat markets were mostly higher due to continued concerns about wheat in Russia after a big frost and freeze event is potentially damaging their wheat crop. May corn down 2 3/4 to 442 3/4. New crop down 1 1/4 to 480. Meanwhile, May beans down 20 to 1192 3/4. Chicago wheat. May up 3 3/4 to 619 3/4. I'm Brian Winnekins.
Efficiency is critical for your farming or dairy operation, so extending the life of your equipment, walls, flooring, and machinery by adding plastic liners installed by Osseo Plastics and Supply only makes sense. Plastic liners wear longer than steel and they clean up fast. The call to Osseo Plastics will save you valuable downtime and lower repair costs for years to come. Make the smart choice and call Osseo Plastics and Supply. Have them help you become more efficient with your money and time with plastic liners and resurfaced equipment and flooring from Osseo Plastics and Supply.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And Mike Adams sitting in this week for Jesse Allen. We'll be back with you on Monday here on AOA, powered by Cenex. You know, selecting the right grease is critical. Cenex Premium Greases helps fleets achieve superior strength and performance. That's right. Trust your local experts at Cenex to find the right premium grease for you or visit Cenex.com. All right, so interesting numbers from the Ag Economy Barometer that we just heard about from Dr. Mintert, and those numbers lower than they have been for several months. And also interesting, those numbers about being approached, farmers being approached, leasing some of their land for solar farms, and the number of them that are looking into doing it. And like I said, you just drive around, you're starting to see more and more of them popping up. And so I think that kind of relates to what's going on. If you don't feel strongly about the ag economy, the market's going to stay good. Farmland values might, if you think they're not going to be good, you might want to go for, you know, a more sure thing as far as a set income. So that's weighs in on people's minds for sure. And we're starting to see some of that reflected right now. And we saw it in those ag economy barometer numbers that we just went over with Dr. Mintert. So, interesting. All right, we're going to talk hopefully some biofuels news here in just a moment with Robert White. He's on the road. He has been promoting flex fuel vehicles all around the country. Want to get his thoughts on how that's being perceived, especially at a time when this administration is pushing so hard on electric vehicles. And that's been an ongoing sticking point, if you will, I think, for the biofuels industry, feeling, I think, overlooked that here we have an industry already in place that we should be promoting more. And then this push to EV so hard, almost trying to force people into going with electric vehicles instead of just kind of transitioning into it and make it a smoother transition and a little longer runway. This administration seems to be trying to force feed it upon us. So we'll get his thoughts on that. Also want to get more reaction to these GREET requirements, what producers have to do in their production practices to meet the GREET standards to get into the sustainable aviation fuel market, which is a very lucrative market potentially, but you got to go through some things, got to do some things to be able to get into it. So that, along with the ongoing battle to get E15 in the marketplace year round, it always kind of just a little bit here, a little bit there, can't just get a flat out commitment, it seems like, from EPA and from the government to go that route. So that continues to be a struggle and a challenge for the biofuels industry. So I want to talk about those issues as we go along here in the program today, and also again on the program tomorrow. All right, we're still trying to catch Robert White with the Renewable Fuels Association. Again, I know he's been on the road, so hopefully we can get him at a place where he can get a good cell signal and be able to check in with us here on AOA. Meanwhile, while we're waiting on Robert, let's go ahead and check in with Todd Neely with DTN. Todd, how are you doing?
I'm good, Mike. How are you today?
It's been a while since we've talked. I know you've been busy there in Lincoln, Nebraska. You've had some pretty scary weather lately, too, haven't you?
Yeah, it's been pretty scary. You're right. On April 26th, we had a series of big tornadoes go through here. At an EF3, about 10, 15 minutes from my house. So, yeah, it was kind of creepy, but we managed to get through it okay.
Glad to hear that, and I know you've been covering a lot of different things, but one interesting story that I know you've been watching closely is the story about biofuels tax credits fraud uncovered in an IRS audit. Tell us about this.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Mike. There was an IG report, Inspector General of the Treasury. They had taken a look at a couple different biofuels credits from 2022. It was the biodiesel, renewable diesel tax credit, and then there was another credit as well. And so they went over about 30, they had about 30,000 tax returns where those credits were claimed, and they did a sample of about 124 of those taxpayers, and they found 42 of them that did not have, like, the proper tax registration or the certificates proving that there were actual biofuels involved in claiming the tax credits. And so it was quite an eye-opener. You know, it's one of those reports that wasn't really, wasn't really shared with the media in particular. But it does kind of outline, you know, some possibilities there. I mean, we had 30,000 30,000 taxpayers that claim those credits, and this was from 2022. And so if you do the math on that, there's the possibility that, you know, upwards of 10,000 taxpayers that did not provide the proper registration. And so I guess this IG basically came to the conclusion that the IRS probably needs to find some way of taking a closer look at those types of claims.
Interesting. Meanwhile, are you hearing anything about reaction to the requirements biofuel producers will have to meet to get into the sustainable aviation fuel market, these GREET standards?
Yeah, you know, Mike, it's interesting because, you know, leading up to the release of the GREET standard, the changes to the GREET model, you know, we were hearing some rumblings that perhaps ethanol producers and others weren't going to be so pleased with what came out. And in a way, I guess they could say that, you know, that kind of came to fruition. You know, the one thing I think that it's probably going to drive more farmers to explore more practices. And I think when you look at the whole scheme of things involving sustainable aviation fuel and you know, ag's involvement in it, really that's kind of the impetus behind you know, these types of credits is to get kind of a change in behavior or what have you. And so while I think initially I think a lot of groups were a little upset with some of the things that were brought out in that announcement, I think in the long run probably it's going to have that effect of really pushing more farms and more biofuel producers to adopt the practices that will qualify for the tax credit. And so in the end, it's really, I think, going to be quite beneficial.
It sure gets government even more involved in farming, though, right down to determining your farming practices.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, it's really who wants to get involved. You know, it's not a mandate per se. But certainly with sustainable aviation fuel, there's quite an opportunity in rural America, you know, very similar to what we saw with the ethanol boom, you know, 20 years ago. I think it's certainly something that, you know, it has the attention of farmers across the country, and there's no reason at this point not to try to get involved.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, a lot of strings attached, I guess, would be the concern. But, yeah, the potential is certainly huge there. Before I let you go, I want to talk about a very, very important topic, and that, and it's one that a lot of people in rural America just don't want to talk about, and that's mental health concerns. We know there's a lot of pressure on those in agriculture, and things like this people just don't want to come out and talk about. But this is a very serious issue that needs to be addressed, and we need to reach out to people and let them know that there's help available.
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. You know, this month, DTN Progressive Farmer, our entire issue of Progressive Farmer is dedicated to rural mental health, and also the stories that we put together for this special issue are going to be running on DTNPF.com. It's a very, you know, it's a subject that affects everyone. I think all of us have personal experiences that we can point to and say, you know, we get it, you know, and I think it's just, you know, it's really more about the human condition. I think everyone has anxieties, you know, it's even outside of agriculture, a lot of people dealing with a lot of things. And so this particular spotlight on the issue, I think we hope that it's going to maybe lead to more people being more willing to talk about it, and to make sure that, you know, they do reach out to someone. There's always somebody out there that knows what people are going through. It's really a matter of finding those people. And we hope with the issue that, with the particular issue that we put together, that, you know, we put some resources in there that people can use and so on. And so it's definitely, you know, May is Mental Health Month, and certainly it's, I think more people just need to be open to talking about it.
And we all need to be more aware of those around us. We don't want to be pushy or nosy, but you also have to be aware. And if you think someone might be struggling or could use some help, be sure to reach out to them and let them know that you're there for them and get them in touch with these people that can help them. I think it's something we all need to be more aware of and work on. Todd, good to talk with you. Thanks for jumping on a little early. We appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me on, Mike.
All right, good to talk with you again. Take care. Todd Neely with DTN. You know, every minute matters on the construction site. Bulk diesel fuel storage can boost productivity and maximize ROI. Learn more at your local Cenex location or visit cenex.com for more information. All right, so coming up next, we've tracked down Robert White with the Renewable Fuels Association. We want to talk GREET requirements with him. We're going to talk about the ongoing effort to get E15 available year-round, and talk about this ongoing push by the government for electric vehicles. What does that mean for biofuels, and what are the opportunities that are still there, and of course the opportunities of the sustainable aviation fuel market. So much to talk about. We'll do that next. Stay with us. You're listening to AOA.
What's keeping you from learning the language you've always wanted to speak?
Too hard.
Takes too long.
Not with Babbel. Babbel's interactive lessons, podcasts, games, and more make learning fun.
Fun isn't hard.
Right. And in 10 minutes a day, Babbel's bite-sized lessons are designed to get you having real conversations in as little as 3 weeks.
That's not long.
It's not hard.
It's perfect.
It starts here. Go to Babbel.com to try for free. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to CleanOrigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to CleanOrigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's CleanOrigin.com, code RADIO10.
She posted about us just now.
Celebrities can't get enough of Bianna's bespoke skincare line.
She has 147 million followers. How do we monetize?
She needs a social media associate to help her with the hype.
We should repost this. Do we need a hashtag?
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
On the May episode of the Monthly Grind with the National Corn Growers Association, we talk about the relationship between the corn and pet food industries with Michael Granche and Chad Epler from NCGA.
Our kind of strategy when we're approaching the pet food industry is kind of a two-pronged approach, which is first, corn is an ingredient, which could be food, can be treats. The second fold to this is what we like to call beyond the bowl applications. And so that's things like biopreferred packaging solutions that maybe are utilizing cornstarch or maybe technologies for pet products.
We know that corn is, you know, used for animal feed, ethanol, things like that. But when you think about pet food, a lot of people have pets. A lot of people have dogs. And sometimes we get lost in the fact that, my gosh, this stuff that we grow here, this high quality, sustainable corn that we grow here, can be used in what's good for our dogs at home. And that's really important to certainly my wife and I, but to a lot of people.
Join us the first Wednesday of the month on AOA for the Monthly Grind and learn more at ncga.com.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
When news happens in agriculture, or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms, and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
All right, welcome back. Mike Adams sitting in this week for Jesse. And we turn now to Robert White, the Vice President of Industry Relations for the Renewable Fuels Association. Robert, I know you're busy. You're on the road a lot. How are you?
I'm good, Mike. Good to hear from you.
Good to talk with you again. You have been out talking about flex fuel vehicles, and you know, in light of all this big push by this administration to try to force people into electric vehicles, you're out there pointing out, hey, there's an alternative here. We've got something else that you can use that's good for the environment, and it's available right now, and certainly more affordable than a lot of those electric vehicles.
Absolutely. I'm down here at the Government Fleet Expo in Louisville, Kentucky, and these are the individuals that basically are being forced to buy electric vehicles, and they don't know, one, how they're going to do it, two, perform the same task as their internal combustion engine vehicles, and they would rather use ethanol. And that's the frustrating part. We have seen fewer flex fuel vehicles over the years because of the credits aimed more at electric vehicles, and the world's just not ready. And to somehow go from basically less than 2% concentration to nearly 70% in the next five model years is just going to be a task too heavy.
Yeah, rather than let people ease into the market or transition into that market, this administration decided it was going to try to force people into the market, and we've seen a resistance by people for a number of reasons, cost being one of them, certainly.
You definitely have the cost of the vehicle, and what we've seen in our research project this last year with our plug-in hybrid that we made into a flex fuel vehicle as well, is that it's not cheaper to fuel either. We're seeing, in most cases, around 6 cents a mile on E85, getting roughly 40 miles per gallon, and we're paying up to 35, 40 cents a mile in some situations with electricity. So it's not cheaper. It's not cheaper for the fuel. It's not cheaper for the car, and even insurance and other things. It's just one of those things that, unfortunately, a lot of people are finding out the hard way.
Don't you wish our government would have pushed flex fuel vehicles even half as hard as they're pushing these EVs?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we would have seen a lot more demand for corn and sorghum. We would have seen a lot more ethanol production and, you know, reached our climate goals a lot faster. That's the other thing, is the EV revolution will take time. Even if somehow they figure this out, we're talking 10, 20, 30 years, and all along, if your climate goals are sincere, why not start today?
I say this all the time. You know, good leadership means you have a vision for the future, and you think you see something that you want to get to, but then you create a smooth transition to get there. You don't just turn on the fire hose and force everybody to try to drink from it, but that's what we're dealing with. We're talking with Robert White, Vice President, Industry Relations for the Renewable Fuels Association. And Robert, here we go again, going into another summer where it's like pulling teeth to get the government to open up E15 for year-round sales. We get a little bit here, a little bit there, but they just won't open the door completely.
Yeah, same story, right? I mean, we're stuck on repeat summer to summer, and with a fuel that's not only less expensive when fuel prices are already high, but it's cleaner for the environment. So again, the same government that says environment is still not able to secure year-round nationwide for fuel like E15 that is actually cheaper and cleaner for the consumer.
Yeah, it's frustrating to see what the energy policy is of this administration, and it's frustrating to see that they won't use what we have right here in place and ready to go. So the push is on. Some places you're going to get E15 year-round, and some places not?
Well, I think the jury's still out on that. Obviously, we have both bills in the Senate and the House that would secure year-round E15. Dysfunction is high in Washington, has been for a number of years, and so we need Congress to act on that and ultimately the president to sign it. But emergency waivers are not easy. We have received those 3 years in a row, but I can say with confidence that they are not easy to obtain, and so there's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes that most people don't know about, and we can't rely on those. In fact, in most cases, you can't rely on them to last the entire summer. But with the unrest around the world and tight supplies of petroleum, then that made that happen this year. But we really need action beyond the 8 states that have secured, opting out of the E10 waiver essentially for the summer months going into 2025. We need all 50 states.
And if you're operating a gas station and you work with those people a lot, that's challenging for them. They need some certainty.
Well, they do. They do. That's an investment they're making, whether it's applying for a grant or having to, build out additional infrastructure or replace infrastructure. Imagine, spending money on a Slurpee machine that you can only sell product out of 8.5 months. It's a hard business case.
I want to get your thoughts. What are you hearing on the GREET model? We waited and waited for that. Finally got it. To get into this sustainable aviation fuel market, which has so much potential, but there are a lot of requirements that go along with it. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, there are a lot of requirements, but I there is definitely some unrest in the ag world, and I just ask people to tamper that a little bit, because 6 months ago, corn ethanol was not going to play a role at all, and we got that fixed, and we made great strides with 40B, which is a tax credit that expires in 230-some-odd days, so it's not something that, unless you were doing all of this with this crop that we've already have in the ground, we are not going to participate. And so I think the overreaction is sometimes a little much, but what we are doing and already fixed in some cases with 45Z, that's the big one. And corn ethanol, whether it's, climate smart agriculture, there's going to be new ways to do that. Obviously, the bundling is a challenge for most. We think only 1-4% of the farmers out there can qualify today. So we want to expand that, but it takes time. This is a long process, and why it does take time and why we're engaged at such an in-depth level.
I understand meeting standards to get into a program like this, but it almost seems like in some cases the government's making it especially hard for producers to do it, or trying to force them into a direction that the government wants them to go, and it's going to take a while to see how that plays out.
Oh, absolutely. And then there will be farmers that will never participate or have the ability to participate just based on their geography. But what we want to do is, ultimately use more ethanol in the sustainable aviation fuel. Hopefully those producers can get a higher price per gallon than they're used to. And then the farmers can in turn get higher price per bushel.
Yes. Robert, keep up the good work. Good to talk with you.
Thanks, Mike. Have a great day.
Robert White, Vice President, Industry Relations for the Renewable Fuels Association. Busy show. Went by quickly. Thanks for joining us. Hope you'll be with us again tomorrow right here on AOA.
Million listeners depend on AM radio to always be on, delivering news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports you can trust. AM radio also delivers vital emergency information when you need it most. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act to keep AM radio in cars.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
As planting season begins across the country, the American Seed Trade Association reminds farmers to follow the basic steps for seed treatment stewardship. Follow directions on seed container labeling. Eliminate weeds in the field prior to planting. Minimize dust by using advanced seed flow lubricants. Be aware of honeybees and hives located near the field. Ensure that any spilled seeds are removed or covered by soil to protect wildlife and the environment. And remove all treated seed left in equipment. For more information, visit seed-treatment-guide.com or contact your seed dealer.
Hi, we're Comparing Insurance Agency. Never heard of us? We know.
But to help it stick that our local agents are insurance experts, we're going to say local agent three times in the next 5 seconds. Local agent. Local agent. Local agent.
Find us at ComparianInsurance.com.
If you've been injured in an accident that wasn't your fault, we have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions. They'll tell you if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-460-3550 to speak with a live person now.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com.